But anyway, I got the altitude headaches and stuff like that. But I made it. But it was kind of like you'd go up a little ways and then you'd have to stop. And then you'd go up a little more and you'd stop. And kind of that analogy is the Christian life. And really, when you think about that, so if the Christian life is like that, then how do you protect yourself? I mean, how do you battle on? How do you keep going? And what we're going to do this morning is look at how that happens in the Christian life. And so we're in a series here. The series is entitled, Living the Life. There we go. And really, the whole series has been about living the Christian life. And the key to the Christian life is that you put off things and you put on things that God would have you put on. And you put off wrong attitudes, actions, sin, bad choices. You put those things off and you put on what God wants you to put on. And really, that's what this study has been about. And we've talked about that in a number of different ways. Today, we're going to be talking about walking in victory. As we head up that climb, as we go up that hill, what has God given us? What protection do we have? What weapons do we have? You're not just left alone to just kind of do this on your own. God has given us help. All right, so living the life, walking in victory. We're in Ephesians 6, and beginning in verse 10 through verse 20 today. Blue Bibles, it's on page 830. And we're going to look at this and move through these 10 verses rather quickly this morning. And then finish out this series and look forward to this evening. Yes, we are. We're looking forward to tonight and spending time together and good dinner. And for any of you that might have not gotten your Valentine's something, you can still be saved. Bring them to the meal and the dinner and thing tonight if you did that. So if you didn't take care of that. Okay, what does the believer have to protect them? How do we walk in victory? What we're going to do on your outline, if you take a look at that outline, there are three keys today. Three simple points that help us walk in victory. Okay, you ready? Beginning at verse 10. A good place to start. How about the armor of God? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Be strong in who? Be strong in yourself? No. Be strong in, say it with me, the Lord. You're to be strong in the Lord, to take on His strength and His help. On our own, we can do some. Most of the time when we do some, we mess it up, we yuck it up, we try and help God. God, you need help. And we try and help Him, and we tend to make a mess out of situations. Ephesians 6:10 says, wait. When you start, be strong in the Lord as you begin and as you walk with Him and as you face this thing called life. You have the ability to withstand the pressures from the outside. And this morning, I know that there are people that are experiencing those things and have struggled even this week. One of the things that we're told to do is to be strong in the Lord. And I want to talk about that for just a moment. What in the world does that mean? All right. But on your outline, here's what we're doing. The first little frame that comes up is kind of the overview. We can walk in victory, okay? And I'm going to give you three ways to walk in victory today, and that's really what this is all about. We can walk in victory by, okay, verse 10, by being strong in the Lord. There we go. We can walk in victory by being strong in the Lord. Trusting Him, asking Him, seeking Him. The first thing we need to do, not the last, not when we're in so deep and there's such a problem that He's the only way out, but by starting here, be strong in the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Open your heart to Him. Tell Him what you're feeling. Tell Him you're hurt. Tell Him, I can't do this without you. Be strong in the Lord. I want to give you this problem, Lord. I want to trust you, and that's really hard to do. Really hard to do. Be strong in the Lord. Okay, on that, how do we do this? How's that for? There we go. How? Okay, next little fill-in is understanding we get inner strength. How? By understanding we get inner strength from the Lord. You get inner strength from the Lord. You are not on this journey of life on your own, by yourself, to get through it without help. By getting help from the Lord. And how do we know this? How do we know that there's something that helps us, that something that enables us, that something that gives us His strength? And I heard the right answer. It's His Spirit. Now, what I need you to do is turn back in the book of Ephesians. Turn back a couple of pages to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And one of the things we find out in verse 13, says this, 1:13, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were what? Marked in Him with a seal, the what? The promised Holy Spirit." Okay? "Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance." Okay. Ephesians 1:13 is a key verse. That inner strength that we get in difficult times and hard times and sometimes in just getting through day to day, we need that. It's His Holy Spirit. And His Spirit comes into us. It enables us. It strengthens us. It gives us wisdom. There are many, many, many things that His Spirit helps us with. There are times when I know I have felt God's Spirit. Now, His Spirit is with me because when I accepted Christ, according to 1:13, 1:12, and 13, I received His Spirit. I don't lose His Spirit. It is within me. But there are times it just feels like His Spirit is just really there. It's enabling and empowering. A lot of times we deal with that when we're in difficult times. When you hear the report from a doctor that's not good. When you're in the middle of a difficult, thorny problem. Could be with other people. Could be within your own family. Could be with other Christians. And that one of the things is, I believe that God's Spirit, we need to make sure and call and ask for His help. But His Spirit enables us and helps us as we go through these very, very difficult times. Have strength in the Lord, not in yourself. Not in yourself. We have a certain amount of ability. God does give us a brain and ability, but He never intended us to live this life without His Spirit, without His help. So we are to have strength in the Lord. Be strong in Him. Verse 11 says this, "Put on what? The full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Against the devil's schemes. Okay, verse 11 gives us the second. We can walk in victory by, verse 11, what? Putting on the armor of God. God expects us to put on armor in a figurative way, but He expects us to do that, to put on the armor of God. And what's going to happen now in the next four or five verses, we're just going to go through some of the armor that is available to us as believers, and God expects us to use it. When's the last time you put on your armor? Does it sit over in the corner of the house or in the bedroom? No, the idea is we are to put on the armor of God. And to have the armor of God to help us get through our situations. Interesting. There is an enemy against us. There is an enemy against us. His name is Satan, the devil. And he wants nothing more than to destroy, to undo, to limit God's work. We have a clear enemy. Do not fool yourself. Oh, there's not really a devil. Yes, there is. And he is active and he is alive and he is at work. He's at work everywhere, in your home, school, in the church. He is there and he is very, very active. Interesting, the word schemes, against the devil's schemes. Well, what are some of these schemes? As I looked this up, it's interesting. It said pride, that he fills us with pride, fills us with jealousy, gives us the opportunity for temptation. Anger. All of these are different schemes that the devil can use. There's many more of them. But he just talks about those themes. Okay? Let's go to verse 12. So why do we put the armor on? I got ahead of myself just a little bit, but it's okay. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this what? Dark world, and against the what? Spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay, we have a spiritual enemy. This is a fight. It's a spiritual enemy who wants to destroy us. Make no doubt about it. He does not want to play fair. He does not want you to succeed. He does not want you to walk with God. He wants to destroy you. He does. And he has many ways to be able to do this. Okay, so on your outline then, why? The next thing is, our battle is against the devil. Our battle is against the devil. Okay, so basically the idea of what I've said there is you can walk in victory by putting on the armor of God. Why? Well, because our battle is against the devil. Okay, we had a board meeting Tuesday night. In this board meeting, at the beginning of it, I handed out a little brochure to Chris Centale. And it's for a seminar he will attend when he comes back. And in the future, I hope to have other individuals go to the seminar. But it talks about theology. And you say, okay, see, theology. Well, what the Bible is has 10 major areas of theology. 10 major areas of theology. And what Chris is attending is a two-day seminar that takes him through these various areas of theology. Now, it's interesting, as we were reading some of these words in there, Chris says, Dave, what's harmatology? And pneumatology. The Bible has its own language. Your computer has its own language. You've got to learn the language of the computer. You've got to learn the language of the Bible and how theologians are categorizing. One of the key studies in the Bible is the doctrine dealing with the devil. The doctrine dealing with demons. Demons, where do they come from? Most people would say demons are fallen angels. They are fallen angels that follow Satan. And so in the idea of studying theology and in the Bible, why I'm taking and making this point is that, folks, the Bible teaches there is a real devil. He is active. There are demons. And in this, here's the category, our adversary, the devil, the reality of Satan, the creation and sin of Satan, the activities of Satan, and Satan's world. Next one is the reality of demons. What are demons like? What do demons do? So what you do is you study God's Word because it is the definitive authority on this subject. We have, and the point I'm making here is we do have an active adversary who wants to destroy you, who wants to destroy me. He does. He's not the cute guy with the tail and the pointy ears. Man, this guy's bad news. And he is a real threat to your and my walk with God. Our battle is against the devil. Okay, so God knew this. So what has he done? Okay, as we continue in these verses, what kind of equipment do we have? Now, what we're going to do is start walking through equipment. I'm just going to take them an item at a time and just walk through them with you. Verse 13. Therefore, in light of the fact that we have an adversary, his name is Satan, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, and mark my words, it is here, in terms of every day, you may be able to what? Stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Okay? So, put on, basically, the next couple of verses are going to contain four pieces of armor that we are given. Now, the analogy here is of a Roman soldier, the culture of that day. And we're going to look at different parts of their equipment. Now, obviously, our equipment today is a little different. But in the culture of that day, Paul used the picture of a Roman soldier. So what we're going to do is just walk through some of the information related to a Roman soldier. All right. Excuse me. Stand firm, verse 14, then, with the what? Belt of truth buckled around your waist. Okay, so the first thing is a belt. The belt is where everything kind of moves from. You have to anchor your equipment with a belt. And so figure just putting a belt on. Now, what is the belt? Stands for the truth here. The truth contained of in the Word of God. That as a soldier, as a Christian, that one of the things that we must have, we must be growing in, we must know is God's Word, because God's Word gives us the truth. It gives us the truth about the fact that we have a devil and demons. It gives us the truth about many different issues in life. You have to have the truth. And so the idea here is you, as you get dressed, spend time with God consistently and faithfully in His Word. You have to do that in order to know how to deal with the things that come into your life. And they're tough things. A lot of them, especially when we're talking about the realm of what the devil wants to do. Okay. It is the Word of God, the truth of God. Interesting little verse here. Write down 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. This is a great verse, and it has to do with the truth of God's Word. And I wanted to kind of just give you this verse. It's not on the outline. 1 John 4:4. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is He who is in you, God's Spirit, than what? He who is in the world. So if we begin with the truth of how you are to fight back, God said, the Spirit that is within you is greater than he who is in the world, referring to Satan and the devil. All right, so the belt equals truth, and the truth is, first of all, that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Okay, verse 14. I'm sorry, I'm still on 14. With the what? Breastplate of righteousness in place. The breastplate is the second piece, and it is the idea of righteousness. Now, a breastplate would be from basically your shoulders down to your thighs. It's interesting, it's not only in the front, but it's also in the back. You would have it on both sides as a soldier. And the breastplate, the idea here is that you have this, that you have the truth of God's Word, that the breastplate would be the application of that truth, that you would take what you know and apply it to your lives and walk with God in a way that would honor Him. It's righteousness. Live in order to please God. I think we have a verse here, don't we, John? We have Romans 6, 16. Okay, so who are you going to obey? You have the belt, which is the truth. Then you have this breastplate, which represents obedience. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which is not the one to obey, which leads to what? Death. Or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Which leads to righteousness. And the idea of obeying something leads to righteousness when it's God's Word. Romans 6, 16 helps us to understand that and to know that that is God's Word and that we are to have the breastplate of righteousness. Let's continue on. What did they wear on their feet? Sandals? Maybe not. Not going into battle. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Okay, they have boots. Boots here would be the gospel of Christ. It's interesting. You can be a soldier, and if you can't walk, you're not much of a soldier, are you? They had to have protection there. And they were protected in, you know, with their shield, but also with what they would wear. Now, the idea here, the boots, the gospel of Christ, well, there's a couple different ways to understand this. Probably, as I understand this and as I've studied this, the gospel is your foundation. You have to have a solid foundation. The foundation is the Word of God concerning our salvation. I've accepted Him. I've received Him as my Savior. I am firm in my foundation. my boots, the gospel of Christ. This is the analogy that Paul uses. I'm not sure. It's interesting as you go through this and look at this, but it's interesting how he ties that in, that the gospel is a key part of this. It's a part that helps us as we live in order to please him. Okay, verse 16. In addition to this, take up the what? Very good. The shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Okay, the shield of faith. The idea here is faith in God. But what they would have is a 2-foot by 4-foot shield. And if you've watched any of these movies, Gladiator movies, you'll see them, how they form with their shields right in front of them, and then it would go all the way down to protect them. And they would stick their spears out, and they would just move forward and go down an opponent. But the shield was a key part of that. What they would do on these shields is they would sometimes put them with leather, and they would wet the leather so that when the arrows came in, as they would shoot arrows that were flaming, it would hit the shield, and if it would penetrate, the wet leather would extinguish the arrow. And he picks up on that analogy and says, the Satan, your adversary, the devil, who wants to destroy you, who wants nothing of yours to succeed or accomplish, he literally reaches back and he takes out and he fires. Or he may use darts. And he wants to get you. And you are to take the shield of faith, God's word, and understanding God's word. There are certain places where we need to run from temptation. When it's sexual in nature, 1 Corinthians 6, run. There are other places we're told to stand. Stand our ground. How are we going to know that if we don't have the belt of truth, if the word of God is not active, it's not a part of our life? We've got to be faithful to God to understand how we are to act in various situations. But anyway, what he does is said, you're not left alone. You're to be strong in me. My spirit is with you. Then you are to take these items, my word, obedience to my word, make sure your foundation is solid and that you trusted me as your Savior. And then there are times that you're going to have to fight off the temptation, the sin, the opportunities that are before us. And he said, but I've not left you alone. We have this equipment to help us as we continue to go up that walk, the Christian life, where we get tested, tried. He wants us to succeed. He's given us these items. Let me give you some of the arrows. Doubts, temptation, discouragement. These can all be arrows that he's trying to get us with. Write that point. All right. Okay. We can walk. I'm reviewing again from point one. We can walk in victory by being strong in the Lord. Not in ourselves. That's where we get in trouble most of the time. We try and fix it and we yuck it up. That's my paraphrase of that verse. Okay, by being strong in the Lord, number one. Number two is by putting on the armor of God, that we have these different parts of armor in our walk with God. Number three now, on your outline, we can walk in victory by taking God's weapons. Now, not only do we have the belt, the breastplate, these items, a shield, but there's also some more that he continues to talk about and to discuss. Taking God's weapons. Do this. Cindy, could you get up and turn the... it's getting warm in here. In the front. I think I did turn it down, but it's warm. Thank you. All right. Now I have 14 other people that disagree with me, right? It's cold in here. No, it's warm. It feels warm. I can't ever win those discussions. You ever know that as a man? You're never going to win that discussion, gentlemen, with your wife. Whether it's hot or cold, just do what she says. My Valentine's tip for the day. Now, you can say, no, I'm not going to do that, but have a good life. There you go. That's your Valentine tip for the day. All right, here we go. Final couple of thoughts here. Verse 17. Let me read this. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the Word of God. He comes back to that, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So he's going to give us three things. So here we go. The first one is take the helmet of salvation. So we've got take God's weapons, and the first one you've got to fill in is, I think it says what, John? Helmet. There we go. Helmet of salvation. It's interesting. A helmet was of critical importance because it protected any part, obviously, of your brain or face or head is affected. The deliverance, I mean, you're just no good if that were. So he talks about putting on the helmet of salvation. Second item he talks about here is the sword of the Spirit. And here he goes back again to the Word of God. Now, there's a time when we're in a defensive posture, then there's a time for offense. And the sword of the Spirit would be one where we would know God's Word, where we would be effectively able to use God's Word in discussion, in debate, and in, you know, how we're to act and how we are to behave in honoring God. This is the importance of knowing God's Word. We have to be faithful. We have to be consistent in knowing the Word of God. And he places a real high emphasis on this in these verses. And then what does he do? The third one here is prayer. Praying some of the time. Praying when you're in trouble. Praying occasionally. No. Praying on all occasions. So think about this. How many times, don't answer it out loud, but how many times do you pray during the day? You don't have to have the formal, with the hands folded, with the head bowed. There's a place for that. But how often do you talk to God? And what we call them are arrow prayers. Shoot a prayer off. How often do you pray? If it says to pray on all occasions, hopefully you're developing an attitude and a spirit just before we get ready to wrestle with a piece of equipment that's not going so well. God, give me help with this. Or before we have to go talk to that person, shooting a prayer and saying, God, give me wisdom. Give me the right thing to say. Help me. Before we eat, pray. Tell God thank you. Praying on all occasions. You have, you know, this guy called the devil that we've just talked a little bit about today, do you know he fears the weakest Christian? The weakest Christian when that Christian goes to their knees. The devil fears the weakest Christian when the Christian goes to his knees. Because he is in effect calling on the God of the universe to help him, to encourage him, to give him wisdom in this situation. Praying on all occasions. This, you know, in preparing this and looking at this, this kind of set, in terms of what I felt the Lord was having us to do, the next 4 weeks, we're going to be going through a series on prayer. And the series is entitled Praying with Power. And what we're going to do is look at some prayers where people prayed with power, God answered. What are they doing? How come I can pray and pray and pray and pray and nothing happens? Well, maybe you haven't met all the requirements of that section that we're going to look in God's Word. What we're doing is setting up a series here for the next couple of weeks that will set us up to go into Easter. And not only praying is so important, but the next thing is we need to do something kind of action with our prayer. And we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to lead you through a process of not only praying, but taking steps, with the goal being Easter Sunday. And I think, I don't know, what are we, 7 weeks out, something like that, 6-7 weeks from Easter. So this series on prayer is going to start us in that direction. All we're going to do is look at a couple of prayers, not all we're going to do, but look at some prayers of people that God answered their prayers. And they were praying with power, and we can pray in the same way. And that's what that series will be. All right, prayer. Here we go, verse 18. I know some of you guys put away your stuff. I've got 7 more points. Verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds of prayers and requests. God is waiting to hear everything, folks. This is one of the key verses in the whole Bible about prayer. All kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I'm going to read the last couple of verses of this book so we finish. Pray also for me, this is Paul, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me that I may speak fearlessly the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So pray for me that I would be wise in what I say as I give the gospel out. Final greetings, Tychius, the dear brother, and faithful servant, the Lord will tell you everything so that you may also know how I am and how I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Amen. And finish the book of Ephesians. Very good. Bow your head with me, would you? In this series, we have talked about living the spiritual life. What I want to leave with you, and just ask God for help. God, what are the things I need to put off in my life? I would encourage you to pray that prayer, and just, maybe not today, maybe not even tomorrow, but as you pray that prayer, God, what are things I need to put off that don't honor you, that don't please you? Tell me what those are, Lord. Then in that same prayer, God, you in your word have told me what to put on. What am I to put on? And as you and I make a commitment to be faithful in God's word, his word will show you that. So put off and put on. Second thing to pray for, and second thing to remember is that we're not alone. That we can have victory. Ask God to give you victory. I don't know what you're struggling with today. Some of you, I actually do know what you're struggling with today, because you've told me. And I would say, God, give me wisdom with your Spirit enabling me. I can't face this alone. Lord, there are people here this morning that are dealing with tough situations at work, unfair bosses, unfair employers. Lord, I pray you give them wisdom when to say and what to say. Lord, I pray also that as we live our lives, that we would just honor you by putting off what we shouldn't have and putting on what we should have. Lord, thank you you've not left us unprotected, that your word is key. That our obedience to your word is a significant part of our walk with you. Beyond that, the foundation of knowing we know you as a personal Savior. And then to take the sword and to use it appropriately. Lord, I pray for the temptations that face all of us. The arrows, the darts that come from our adversary. We'll run when we need to run. More than that, will be protected because we have taken faith in you and we're consistent with you and we're struggling, but we love you and we want to follow you. So I just commit and thank you for this amazing letter written 2,000 years ago, how it does apply right today for people sitting in this room. Lord, thank you that we can give and we do that as a part of our worship. Lord, thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.